sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am hungry for some blood ride.
Oh, yeah.
Blood ride.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Suitable Flesh. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah. And the way you said it unlocks a lot of possibilities with the name there. I didn't realize.
Suit.
Able. And since 90% of it's fucking flesh.
Yes.
I spoiled it. Damn it. That was a spoiler. It's all sex.
As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner.
And we're going to do Follow the House of Blood Red.
Yes.
Blab rats.
Blood Red, Season 1, Episode 4. John, last week you threw down the challenge of we have to complete this series, even though we've been kind of middling, mostly unenjoying the episodes.
We have to be the podcast that has the balls. No, the cojones. No, the vaginas big enough to take on this fucking challenge.
Yeah.
We're going to watch the entire run of the Ride of Blood.
The Ride of Blood.
Last stop, Amaze Town. I don't know.
True. We got
last stop the town in Lost. Not Lost. Fucking already from. Wow.
From.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of come layers on there.
That's a good one. It's actually one of the more consistent ones we watch. What if I told you, John?
The last stop is Chapelwaite. I'd be so upset.
I didn't watch it.
I want to go back there.
What if I said I didn't watch it?
Oh. Did you really not watch it?
No, I did. Okay. I did, yeah.
I was like, you would
have
loved this
one. Only did I watch it, John, but I think it's the best one. This is great for Blood Ride. Blood Ride level, this is the best Blood Ride I've been on this entire season. It's amazing.
It's like Diet Follow the House of Usher. It's like the Sprite Zero version.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so weird because I everyone's doing their end of the year list and everyone is like, best TV is Father House Usher. And I've heard our recordings and we're just so negative by the end of this. Yeah. We're so indifferent to the show.
Yeah.
Still can't figure out why I guess we didn't. What was it? Like, I know we'll talk about Blood Red in a second. Let's talk about the Fall of the House of Usher.
I think it's
like, what was it?
If we had binged it like everybody else did, I don't think we would have as many opinions.
I think that's true too.
We try to watch it like we're watching a real episode coming out the way it used to be. I mean,
right.
Actually, the way it used to be was what, like bi-weekly, not even every week. It was like, at the beginning, it was like almost nearly just once a month for a little few of the shows, I think.
For what, like Netflix or early TV or
early TV?
What
are you talking
about?
Yeah.
Oh, early TV. Oh, okay. So I don't know. Again, I think we have to rewatch that, dude, because I think it's good. What are we missing? The general public is
that we don't subscribe
board
to binge culture.
That's true. Not on this show, we don't.
No, because you might as well just make it a movie, but then I won't watch it because it'll be 6 hours long.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I did binge, what was it? His other one, the one I love. What is it?
Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass, yes.
I binge that one. I did too. Binge. Fucking
yeah.
fantastic.
I watched it all in one day. Yeah. So it was excellent. So maybe, I don't know. There's something there. I don't know. To rewatch.
It's funny how much we fucking love Midnight Mass. And that is like the one show we didn't review of his.
Yeah, it's
true. I guess we didn't do Haunting of Hill House either, but.
Shit, we should just go back and just review all of them. I mean, I don't know.
We could. Just not that. What? Not that, another diet version of a show. The what was the Goosebumps one?
Oh yeah, yeah. But see, he was just producing that one. Yeah, Midnight Club, the Midnight Club.
Yeah, the one with what's her face? The
he brought a couple of people from that show to the House of Usher.
The latest wife, right? To
yeah, the Roderick last wife
plays the she's the youngest son or something. Oh, the youngest son. Yeah.
Also, the other girl too. Lenore, right? Was it Lenore?
Yeah.
She was also in there, yeah. He's really good about that. He always collects actors and brings them along for projects and stuff. So he's good about that. Anyways, we should go back to Lab Rats.
Blood Rat.
So my inkling is that you didn't like this one?
The Fall of the House of Lab Rats?
Yes.
It was fine. It's just, do you consider that a horror story?
Well, let me ask you. Do you think?
No.
Okay. Wait, there's more to that enough. Question. No, you're right. No. No, you're right. No, you got it. No, you got the right answer. No. Is Cube? Would you consider Cube a horror movie?
Yes, because bad, horrific things happen to people. Actually.
I think Lab Rats could work as a feature, but it's kind of like I love the idea of you guys stole something from me, I'm gonna put you in this room naked or whatever, and you guys have to tell me, and then I'm gonna be torturing you. I mean, that's kind of horror themed, like that's like Pit in the Pendulum, you know. That's kind of like there's like horror
saw
elements
thing. It's like
Saw thing,
but to me this is closer to like a something that happens in James Bond and then they escape.
Yes. Now I will preface this by saying that like I love the concept of it. I thought the execution was very rushed and kind of didn't really make a lot of sense by the end.
Yeah.
But I think that there's probably, the in my opinion, the best idea here for, and this, I don't know, I found this one less offensive than some of the other blood rides, the other rides that we've been on. So I don't know, I just liked it. I thought there was a good premise here. I like the idea of people, you're learning about the people, and by this one person that's holding them captive, and you're learning about, you know, they on the surface they look like a certain way, but then as you dig deeper, they're kind of revealing who they are, and the secrets that they hold.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there's also this overarching mystery of who stole the prototype or whatever, for whatever the hell this is. I had no idea what the MacGuffin of this was, but I mean, to me that's a solid idea. I bring up Cube because it kind of reminded me of the same setup as Cube. Like, oh, you just,
you didn't think it reminded you of Glass Onion? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so
the MacGuffin itself, because they developed something like the best antidepressant on the market that's still not good. They even celebrate that fact. Like, they don't care. Nobody needs to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the shape of a pocket vibrator for reasons.
Vape pen. Yeah.
Like, what is it? Like, is it a lip balm? Is it like,
pretty much, yeah.
It's like, I'm depressed. Lip balm. All better.
Yeah, I honestly, again, like, I could care less what the hell they were, like, what he lost and stuff like that. But I did love the idea of them celebrating something and then him getting, you know, paranoid that they had, you know, whatever the thing that he was most proud of was taken at this dinner, and then he made them all strip down and put them in this chamber, kind of like lab rats, quote unquote, right? Like the title. And aside from that, aside from the setup of it, I actually thought I really liked the acting of the guy that had the face tick as well. I thought was good. He was super good.
But my thing is, like, why he was like, no, one of you guys stole the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, didn't these people, aside from maybe like one or two of them, collectively create this thing? Why would they need to steal the prototype if they know how to make it? I don't understand. Like, why? I would just like half those people could have gotten kicked out of that box like immediately. Like, no, you know how to make it, so why the fuck would you steal it?
That makes complete sense. I'm 100% on board with you. Like it falls apart by the end. Like, a lot of it doesn't make sense by the end. Because to me, it just feels like an idea they could have like stretched out, maybe got like a feature film out of, you know. Yeah. But it's condensed into this like 30-minute show, and I honestly don't think it, like, it kind of falls apart after the initial setup.
And then after you find out the girl that did it, and then awkwardly gave her a hug where she's like, don't touch me, and she's like pressing her elbow into his chest to clearly drop something or grab something from his pocket.
Yeah. It's a very European way of hugging, John. You're not cultured to understand how people hug. I mean, like I said, everything you're saying makes sense. But like, I think this was good. I actually liked it.
I didn't mind it. I didn't see anything horror about it.
Okay. Yeah, I get you. It's on its surface. It isn't trying to it's like continually create tension and fear or whatever, like making you feel unease. No, I agree with you. It's not a Saw movie, like you said. It's not like done that way. But
I think only one person dies, right?
I
think it's just the main guy, the guy that's accusing everybody.
Yeah.
He's the only guy.
Very predictable ending. Yeah. Very predictable ending. But there's a nugget in there. There's something there. They you know. Due to its format, I believe you could have possibly done more with it.
I think they just needed one more character. Carla Gugino comes out and she's like, hey, what's up? My name's Verna. Don't even worry about it. And they're like, okay, I'm not worried about it. Want to make a deal? Yeah. Bam, movie.
Follow the House of Bloodright.
Because that's exactly how the conversation went down for the deal and Follow the House of Usher. Like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
I like some deals. Yeah. As soon as we make this deal, you're going to forget about it for 50 years or whatever the fuck it was.
I'm telling you, every single person in your family, your bloodline is going to die. I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm the only one that gets to enjoy this? Yeah, I like that. Fuck them. They didn't do anything.
But yeah, not bad. Best one so far.
Yeah.
Best one.
And this one's so easy to describe. Hey, we made an antidepressant and it's a prototype that's in the shape of something. A thumb drive, maybe? I don't know. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, nobody knows what it looks like. And then he accuses everybody, puts them all in a room because he sees one of his taxidermied lab rats in his dining room that are in, like, looks like posable, like, positions. It reminded me of Dinner for Schmucks, like what Steve Carell does with, like, the taxidermied rats. That's what it looked like to me. And he's like, I have an idea. So he puts them all in the room, makes them strip naked except for their underwear. I'm like, they could have been hiding the stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then eventually one person admits it, which was a pretty obvious pick.
Yeah.
And then she tries to pull some really cool espionage stuff.
Yeah.
But he's like, haha, I'm too smart for you. And then let me go back into this room and talk to these people that I tried to kill.
It's like, oh,
they're mad at me. What? Guys, it's all good now. It's all gravy, baby. And they didn't think it was gravy, baby, and they put him in the chamber.
Yeah, pretty much. And I wasn't a fan of the main bad guy either. He wasn't particularly menace. He looked like a butler.
Yes. 1,000,000%. Yeah.
He was not scary Bruce Greenwood you know, kind of actor that had any presence. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sure, he's a good actor or whatever, but like the part was just not for him, I guess.
I'm just surprised he never suspected the security guard.
Right.
Because he's like, weren't you paying attention to the monitors? And he's like, oh, I didn't see anything. He's like, oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Well, he trusts them. He doesn't trust the people. I don't know. Yeah. I guess there could have been another avenues they could have explored.
Yeah, like the rats, the taxidermy rats were still alive. And they're like, we're going to steal this prototype. As vengeance.
That is true. That is actually... And then really funny.
Crispin Glover comes out and he's like, yeah, these are my friends and you hurt them. That's why Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
I can't let you hurt him again. He just like sends the rats at him.
Wow, Crispin Glover. Welcome to the show. He's here. Okay.
That was a blood ride.
I feel like we're in an upward trajectory. The rest are going to be great. Banger after banger. So.
They don't have any more posters that suggest the main person writing the Rite of Blood, because the past two posters have been inaccurate.
That's true. You did find a little loophole, a little logic loophole.
Yeah, like every person we focus on the Blood Ride is more of like a red herring for like the past two episodes. Like, why?
I think before this ride's over, we're going to have some like explanation of who the bus driver is, which we surmise is death or something, right? Like,
nah, it's just Carl. He's like, hey, they're paying me like $100 an hour to drive these folks around for like 6 hours. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. I can do that every night. I don't care. I don't know these people.
Well, he's culpable if something were to happen to the bus, right? Yeah. I mean, he's taking the money. Of the bad people.
He's like, oh no, there's this tree that's fallen in the middle of the road out in the middle of nowhere. Better turn around. What are all these crows doing in the air? Weird. And then he lands in a town where there's a town people and the... Fuck, I already forgot. The village people? No.
They're YMCAing all over this neighborhood.
What are the other people called in from?
There's that mansion that people.
Something like that. The house, the mansion, something like that. The cottage folk.
Man, we are so good at remembering stuff.
Farmhouse people, something like that.
There's the. Well, what are the other people called?
The town people. I don't know.
Yeah. City people.
Yeah, they call them city slickers, and the other people are called the children of the corn.
Yeah. The out-of-towners and the... I don't know. I got nothing. Okay.
That's our blood ride.
That's our blood ride. Fun so far. I'm telling you, John. I'm telling you. We're putting this to record. The blood ride is going to end well.
So
the next two will be bangers.
If you listen to each of these episodes and listen to each of the episodes we talk about for Blood Ride, we will make the Skeleton Boys and friend, which is you, rode the Blood Ride. We will make that shirt happen.
You rode the Blood Ride? Yeah. That's a good shirt idea. Write it down. I might forget this.
She's going to be our heads popping out of the bus.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I forgot. I have to send you. I don't know if I should do it live on the show as we record. I'm going to send you something, John. Get your true reactions on record here. I'm going to send you a little clip video. And hopefully you get it. Hopefully this all works out properly. Watch it, and I'll tell you what it is. It's like 6 seconds.
6 seconds.
Oh, so,
Skeleton Boys.
Did you see it? It's not much. So,
is this supposed to be a deleted scene from Yethica?
So, what you're looking at, John, since I was fucking around with AI. I generated the skeleton boys, and that's the clip we got. Yeah. It's so, to describe, I don't even know how to describe this.
AI is more morbid than we are. That's insane.
You have a full skeleton sitting down, and what looks to be like a boy in...
Made of what's clay?
Wrong? You have unfinished CGI who's, I don't know, not looking at his friend. He's upset with his friend, and he's questioning things about his life. I'll post this clip on Instagram if people want to see this. But yeah, that's us AI generated skeleton boys.
Well, you did it. If you want the clip, we'll release it. But you gotta listen to every episode of the Blood Rap.
I see you're very impressed with that, John. So we'll just.
It was like, I figured that's what it was because I could see the generator icon on the bottom right corner. But I was like, hey, what is wrong with the kid's face though? What does AI think skin is like? You know what it kind of reminded me of? Virtuosity.
Oh, yes. Yes. The End. Or Lawnmower Man, right? Or like...
Even though I think the movies came out at the same time and somehow Virtuosity was still better looking than Lawnmower Man.
It was. Well, I mean, I'm assuming the other one had a bigger budget than the other.
Which one? I'm just kidding.
Okay. Virtuosity is... It's funny you mention Lawnmower Man. There's a lot of fucking in Lawnmower Man. Just like our next movie we are reviewing, Suitable Flesh. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Suitable Flesh. As a bonus fourth one. You know what? I'll say that to the end because I think you'll think it's funny. Coming in at number 3 for Suitable Flesh, Demon from Fallen discovers sex. remember that movie, Fallen?
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Denzel Washington. That's a good movie.
Tell us in the comments below. Do you remember the movie, Fallen?
Shit.
John Goodman. Coming in at number 2 for Suitable Flesh, That Sexy Thing You Do.
That's a good one.
It's like, yep. I know John Sheck from so many other things, but he's always forever gonna be that guy from That Thing You Do. Like, there's iconic for him. Coming in at number 1 for Suitable Flesh, Tales from the Crypt presents.
Sure, yeah.
Because this feels like a long fucking Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah,
and for a bonus 5-word plot summary for Suitable Flesh. Let's do a barrel roll. The last like 5 seconds, I was like, I'm going to throw up. Is this going to end?
I was going to throw up.
Yeah. I bet they had a lot of fun just spinning that camera around and not fucking sweating and shitting themselves, making sure that thing didn't flop off.
I'm sure I shitted myself. What do you think? Union? This is a union shoot? Okay.
100% produced by Barbara Crampton. This is a union shoot.
Alrighty, Suitable Flesh, John. What did you think? Give me your first thoughts.
It wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
If it was something that came out on like, I don't know, Shudder, which I thought it would. It did?
It will. Yeah, oh, Shudder made it. Yes, Shudder made it. They produced it.
I thought I saw the thingy, yeah. But like, I mean, if it just came out on Shudder and I didn't have to rent it.
So the money was the issue.
I'd like it a little more, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one hesitance I did lay out was potentially this could, by next week, it could be on Shudder. We you know.
Because it wasn't bad. I know it was trying to be like all those like shows from the 90s is what I was gathering, right? It was supposed to be like very throwback style.
yeah,
set in present day, which doesn't really work because like present day cinema does not lend itself to that style anymore, I don't think. If that makes sense.
Yes,
like this is very makes sense. It's outdated to
We'll explain that point, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big sticking point, I think, for anybody curious about watching this movie.
Yes, because trying to make a movie like this now makes it seem just cheap, like all yes. around cheap, like all the sex scenes and all that.
Which, but not, yeah. You think it achieved? Like, because definitely it's they're doing it, but it's supposed to be an inspiration, like of, you know, like Stuart Gordon, Castle Freak, Reanimator, yeah. stuff like that, you know, B movie, direct to video B movie style.
But it felt more like, I don't know, Silk Stockings and Tales from the Crypt, sexier stuff. You know, there was just an awful lot of sex going on, which is
you
fine.
Hate it. Ew, yeah, you hate it.
which is fine. It's just kind of like a, like I was saying, like it doesn't translate very well into like a modern day made film.
Okay, I agree. I have my problems with it, obviously, right? But there's like. No there with this movie, but I think there's something there, if that makes sense. Like, I enjoyed it because I wasn't prepared for its like you
sexiness.
Know let me comment on that. Like, I'm totally okay with that because I feel like most movies don't do this anymore, right? Like, they don't present like as sexual scenes or anything in most modern cinema, you know, and especially everything is so stale and unsexy now in movies, you know, that's people rather mainstream audiences, you know, Hollywood rather avoid stuff like that. When in the 90s, it was like in fashion, right? They had Sharon Stone. She was in, Fatal Attraction. Yeah. What's
basically
the one where
anything she did?
Basic Instinct, but yeah. You know, Paul Verhoeven movies and stuff like that. He kind of brought like a sexiness to the mainstream that had never really been captured before. And that kind of went away. And now everything is fucking superheroes and everything is a thrill ride, a franchise, a fucking IP brand bullshit. And this is definitely a throwback to that style, which I loved. Like, I loved, like, it's definitely in that vein. It has this was a script written, like, I think in the 80s by the guy who wrote Reanimator. So they basically took that script.
Yeah.
And they just shot it and then just try to do like an homage, try to do something in that vein. And I enjoyed most of it once I got on board with the type of movie it was. Because at first I was just so thrown off.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh, why is he acting weird? So always, this is very pulpy B movie. And I was kind of like not on board with it. I was like, oh my God, John's going to fucking hate this.
So two things. I was just getting all that out of the way so I can say like, this is why I think people might not like it.
Yes, I agree 100%.
I did enjoy it. But like I said, it did play out like a long Tales from the Crypt, like Crypt episode.
Right.
And two, you heard it here, folks. Rolando wants you to put the sex back in film, the sex back in cinema, the sexima is gonna come back.
I think that it's sorely missing. I think everything is so unsexy in movies. Yeah, I don't know about it.
And I was gonna say that the played out sex scenes, I think, is what's gonna like really daunt people. But on top of that, it is going back to that era of, hey, you guys fucked and here are consequences.
Right.
Except for poor John Sheck. He's just having a sexual awakening and that's the worst that happens to him. And it's
he is the best character in this movie, dude.
Yeah.
There's
a moment where I thought he had become a bad guy and I was like, oh no, he's just like, his sexual awakening just came late in life. And then it is very short-lived, and he's just like, oh, no, I'm a piece of trash again. I'm like, no, not John Shaik.
I think I love that Heather Graham's in this. I sorely miss Heather Graham. She was a big part of the 90s, 2000s or whatever. Like, she had a nice run in more mainstream movies. And to see her in this, I was like, refreshing to see her do something, to see her star in a movie. So I was totally on board.
God, yeah. Opposite of Amazing Barbara cast. Crampton, too.
Barbara Crampton, yeah. Bruce Which, Davidson.
I was going to say, also. Yeah. I was going to say Heather Graham and Barbara Crampton were both Kiss, very important to me other? When I was a teen. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is all playing out to my teenage fantasies.
Yeah. And yeah, I think Heather Graham's like perfectly suited for this part. Like, she's perfectly cast in this part. I don't think I could, there's another actress I can immediately think of who could have pulled this off.
Yeah, there are moments where she may or may not be a bad guy, right? And she plays like a very good like switch of personality.
Yep. Honestly, the only, like, I love the cast in this. The only person that I just was like not on board with was the Asa guy, Judah Lewis.
The kid from Babysitter.
Yeah, like I was like sold in the beginning on what he was doing and didn't believe like the attraction between them. But by the end, I'm like on board. I think that it just took, maybe I was a little jarring because it's such a different style of movie that once I got into it, I actually think the latter half of this movie is way better than the first half of this movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, it gets gory real quick.
They have a wonderful, really cool sequence too towards the end, which we can talk about in spoilers, that I thought was really fun and inventive. And I feel like once the movie kind of lets loose a little bit and we kind of get the plot going, I think this movie just was fun.
I've got another 5-word plot summary for you. Now that I think okay, about cool. It.
Hit me.
For a bonus 5-word plot summary for Suitable Flesh, Bruce Davison gives us head.
Yes. Dude, even like, without spoiling it, the time that we get with Bruce Davison, man, he's just like acting circles around everybody he's with. Yeah. Dude, he's so good, dude.
He's so, so much better than everybody else. He's like, I don't even need to be sober for this. And he is smoking joints right on set. I don't even think it was a part of his character.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why when Judah Lewis later on adopts this trait for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
He gets worse at acting because he's like, I can't do this.
I can't do a Bruce Davidson. You have to. Yeah.
Each and every one of you has to. You're all drug addicts now.
He set the tone for everybody else.
For this evil, evil devil's lettuce.
We should probably say that this is based like on a H.P. Lovecraft story, which I'm not really like super like, I've never read anything of his. Have you?
Yeah, I've read a handful of his shorts. And it was mostly because when I got turned on to the idea of Cthulhu.
You got turned on by Cthulhu.
I was like, God, you said that sentence. How many tentacles does he have?
Whoa! Yeah. 20.
If I stare into its eyes, I will, what will happen to me? Oh, I'm interested. No, I was surprised because I think I had seen an image of what that thing was and I was like, what the hell was that? Oh, no. It all started because I was trying to rent Evil Dead 2, but I could not remember what it was called. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's this because it was something called Tales of the Necronomicon or something like that. So I wasn't too far away. But when I rented it, I had no idea it was a bunch of like just H.P. Lovecraft, like his most horrific stuff. And I think one of them mentioned the idea of Cthulhu and it showed like a little image, like a drawing. And I was like, whoa, I want to know more about that. So I bought a couple of H.P. Lovecraft books, which are super tiny because all the stuff are like shorts. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of disappointed to see that the Cthulhu thing is really just a short poem that everybody is just writing so hard. They're like, Cthulhu looks like this. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Nobody knows what it looks like. That's the whole point of the poem. It's like, this thing is so horrific. You can't be described. And that's everybody's true, like, no, it looks like this. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Oh. You don't even know if it's a sea creature. That's what you're getting from it.
That's true. So there is a little bit of like inspiration, I guess, on one of his shorts that he did. I'm assuming it's the curse transfer your body thing that's going on here.
The curse of the rubbing of Heather Graham and Barbara Crampton together.
Yeah.
I'm cursed. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm cursed. Thinking about Barbara Crampton.
Thinking about those beans. You ever see that meme? Anyway, moving on. I just quote that way too much and nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Any other thing you want to note? Before we go to spoilers?
What else happened? Some other funny stuff happened where I'm like, haha. I think also once you realize what its humor is intended to be, it becomes funnier.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of moments where you're like, what? Because they're trying to be funny. And once you like sign on to that and you get on to, you know, Reanimator style humor, it's like, oh, that is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think the way it is shot doesn't lend itself to that style of writing.
There's something, I think what's why that, even though there's a lot of like in film, there's always like a lot of like homages to like past films. And I think what's missing, in my opinion, is that this is clearly shot on digital. It has to be shot on digital.
Yes.
Now, if this was shot on film, like all, and you and I both know this, like all the B movies, they were all shot on film from like the 80s, 90s, you know, they were all shot on film. There's just something texturally about them that just like is ingrained into those movies that I think digital kind of doesn't give you, because her office looked like a set and it looked like a Lifetime movie. Yes. You know, it's lit like a Lifetime movie. So
it did not look very good. I can already tell you that I'm pretty sure that's one of those like super affordable places you can shoot at. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the shit that's just lying around. Mm-hmm. You just kind of throw it in there.
They didn't dress up that whatever set that they were renting enough, right?
No, you say? Like they didn't have enough money for like that, because whatever,
right?
For whatever reason.
But and I think they took that as like this is the tone of our movie. You know what I mean? This is the tone of our thing. But it's just like I said, I think there's just something like missing where you just shoot it on location and then you have like film and it's just like this really low budget, but yet there's just an aesthetic to it that it's just hard to capture.
I think is what you're describing is they do now that there isn't X amount of days to shoot things anymore because it's so cheap to just do them on the fly and quickly. Mm-hmm. And then they figure like, well, we can just like edit these things out. And when they try to do that, it looks so fake because it looks too clean. Mm-hmm. Right. And in like older movies, let's say Reanimator, like everybody had to work pretty hard to get the right thing. You know, lighting had to be perfect. The set had to be perfect. Even if they're just blacking out the area and the outside, like that's very difficult to do. So right. When they shoot it, it looks super cool.
Also, we have to also point that like Stuart Gordon, we have to appreciate directors, masters, right? He was a master of horror. like Stuart Gordon, like Sam Raimi, who were taking, you know, limited budget stuff and just reinventing things and like changing cinema out of necessity, right? Because they didn't have the budget to do all of these big expensive things, but yet they had innovation, right? They had creativity on their side. And I think there's also a part of that as well. I don't think in this movie, the spinning camera was going to make us dizzy. Was
like, no, dude.
No. You used it once, which was fine.
Yeah.
But you can't use it twice, dude. Dude, twice was like, get me off this ride. Yeah. Like you said.
And I was going to say, like, I don't think this director is going to go down as one of those innovative people.
He's your next boss, John. Be careful.
If he makes a dramatic jump in quality of films, maybe.
Yeah.
Again, Adam. Don't think this was union. But we haven't had directors like that in a long time. And that's why, thank the heavens above for Blood Rite and each of those directors.
Yeah.
Reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably now it's like these kids that are probably shooting movies on their iPhone and stuff like that. Dude, there's some kid in fucking middle America that shooting a brilliant feature right now on his iPhone or iPad or whatever the fuck. And it's going to be fucking badass. Okay. Do you want to get into spoilers?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to see if there's any fun trivia for this. Did you read anything interesting about this?
No, I don't think there was very much trivia, if I recall. I don't remember there being too much.
So, no. Except for the babysitter kid, Asa, wears a Faith No More t-shirt, which I'm like, cool, I guess. and that's because the director directed one of their music videos. Ah. There you go. Cool trivia. This movie came out like a couple of days before Halloween.
Ah, didn't know that. Yeah, I'm surprised it came out in theaters?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I think it just... I don't know. In fact, yeah, now that you pointed out, I didn't realize...
It might have. I mean, like it just probably didn't... Still
to rent here, right? I don't know. Yeah, maybe it did a debut somewhere or something, I'm sure.
Something small, yeah. Like, I was going to say, like, to be honest, like, I'm not constantly checking, you know, every Friday checking showtimes for what's out anymore. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it did have, like you said, a limited run. Alrighty. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. They're all the bad guys.
So part of your plot summaries was that it's kind of like Fallen. Like, so Bruce Davison is cursed. He passes it to Asa, and Asa passes it to Heather Graham's character through like it has to be like through sex. So that kind of makes me think, like, how did Asa get it? Did he sleep with Bruce Davison's character?
Don't worry about it.
I'm okay with that. I'm just trying to bring up the plot of the movie.
That's what Bruce Davison did. He was like, hey, shh, don't worry about it. Shh, it's okay.
So if anybody's seen Fallen, it's basically, I don't know, it's kind of like if you get within proximity of the...
He's got to touch you. He's got to touch your skin.
He's got to touch you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Asa touched the inside of Heather Graham's legs. That was like a common thing for his. That was his move.
Yeah. Like he
President Trump.
He is possessed by whatever this thing is, which they don't even fully explain, right?
No, it's pretty loose explaining what the curse is. Ancient curse,
unless you're supposed to assume that the thing in the basement or whatever was the octopus thingy drawing was the thing.
You're right, yeah. That was like the little tip of the hat to, I'm assuming, H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
But, I was going to say, if you want like a description of what H.P. Lovecraft's monsters kind of look like, I think In the Mouth of Madness kind of did an homage to that too. Every monster that came out of that was supposed to be kind of inspired by each of his writings.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is possessed or goes through a possession while trying to plead for help from Heather Graham. Which I'm not sure why they're like, no, this psychologist will help. I don't know. Anyway, we have her book. I don't know. I'm not sure why she was the key, because she can get out the thing, like get out style the demon, maybe.
Well, she kind of does it
once.
Sleeping with the guy, she kind of, it got passed to her. So anytime it wanted to switch bodies, it did, and it seemed like he had never experienced being in a woman's body, so he was kind of enjoying being a woman as opposed to a man. I think it had been a man for like centuries. He's like,
oh fuck, I'm actually not just gay, I thought this whole time.
Yeah.
No, you know, I'm not even sure that Asa and the old man were father and son.
Oh, they're just lovers.
Maybe.
Is that where we're falling on this?
No, they're father and son. Okay, so... or it could be a husband and husband. I don't know. Like, we don't... There's not a whole lot of time to explain things. But I was going to say, yeah, the kid gets... He's pleading for help. And I'm starting to think that goes to her because she kind of shows that she can, like... hypnosis style the thing into like submission for a second towards the end there. But she has no idea what's going on. This kid gets repossessed by whatever this thing's called and then goes up to her and is like, oh, I like you. And then Donald Trumps her between the legs with his hand.
Yeah.
Just very awkwardly. And she's just like, oh.
Got away with it too.
Yeah. Yeah, she basically did the like, oh, don't do that, and just kind of like winked and smiled. I don't.
Yeah, she was into it. Yeah,
you can't even blame it on like, oh no, she was under the influence of this demon. Like, no, she wanted to fuck this kid for some reason.
Yeah, there was no. It was very. It was very like odd that she found him interesting or like. Attractive. You have her husband at home who's much more attractive. So
he's just like, what did he say? Oh yeah, what did I do today? I woke up, I went to the gym, and then I went to two job interviews. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you guys afford this house? But okay.
Wow. Yeah.
It's West Virginia.
It's West Virginia. Yeah.
Because it can't be where they work because it's clearly one floor and their offices are towards the end. And then offices are half padded rooms and then a morgue for mutilated bodies.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this hospital? And then it occurred to me, it's small town. They don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put it all in one place. But it was all good.
I want to talk about
they have probably Dr. my Pepper there.
Huh? Favorite sequence, which was
the barrel roll.
The barrel roll, no, it was the barrel sex roll. No, the I was gonna say the scene where I guess Heather Graham's character leads him to the office or whatever, and she I don't know, I forget the set of sequences, but she pushes him out the window. And he falls to the floor. She tries to kill him.
Yeah.
She gets out and then she like, he's like still kind of alive. And so she gets in her car, which is parked a little further away and tries and backs up into it. And you can totally see that the screen, you can see him constantly getting, she keeps like reversing and going forward, hitting him, running him over while having that reverse screen or whatever that's most common in cars now, I guess. But
yeah, the backup cam. So backup it's because cam. Yeah, because she has the latest, like the 2024 release of some vehicle with like the ultra HD crystal clear picture.
It was cheesy, but I thought it was inventive. Like,
no, I did like it. I did enjoy it. Yeah.
Mapped on or whatever. I totally get where you're going with that. But yeah, it was cool. I thought it was a fun sequence, you know. Yeah. And I thought they did some really good work. Like after that, his face is all fucked up and somehow still alive, and like he looked disgusting in the morgue and he's crawling around and stuff like that. And that's supposed to be like Heather Graham's character. I kind of liked how they incorporated Barbara Crampton, who I think is a producer on this movie, so it kind of makes sense that
because she was the one that brought the script in and brought that guy in, the writer, because she had done Reanimator and From Beyond, which that guy wrote both of those.
Yeah. And yeah, so she clearly knows, you know, what the material is, and she was excellent in it, of course. And so she plays like Heather Graham's like best friend, I guess, right? Or closest friend.
The vape head. Yeah.
The vape head, yeah. So but yeah, where could we go with that? The bad guy gets away.
The bad guy gets away.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't know how you stop this thing to begin with, right?
Yeah. So it cut its head off, right? That was.
Yeah, destroy the brain, I think. The brain. Yeah. Because at the end, when the kid is still alive, Asa is still alive. And then, pretty horrifically, I think he was able to come back to, and he was still possessed. He says whatever words he's supposed to say, even though he got stabbed in the throat 1,000 times, and goes back into Heather Graham's body. But then it is Heather Graham that is alive in Asa's body. This is where it gets all confusing. So Asa is gone, dead. And Heather Graham is in this like fucked up body where like the mortuary, the what do you call it?
I can't think of the mortuary collection.
The mortuary collection.
Yes.
the guy's like about to do the embalming and all that, and is like cutting it open for the organs and all that. And so there's like fucking guts and shit hanging out. The face is basically gone except for one eye. The legs don't work or whatever. And Heather Graham is possessed in that body right now, and she is crawling in this body out to go look for her real body. And while that's happening, Barbara Crampton is like, "You're not my friend." What's my name? Covers her name tag. It's like, wow.
Also, we forgot to mention,
they're like, "We believe you."
I was gonna say, in that sequence, it remembered our boy's in it now. Our favorite horror lead, Jonah Ray, is in it.
Oh yeah,
for a hot second. Yeah, he's like super tall, dude. Yeah, he's like towering. It's like uncomfortably tall.
He's like 6-something, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we talked about this. Let's say 10 pack. He's 6'4", right? Or some shit. Yeah, he's fucking towering, dude.
So yeah, that part was funny. Yeah, there's supposed to be like the funny moments where Heather Graham is possessed and goes like, "Hey, I'll like suck you guys off if you let me go." And they just kind of look at each other for a second before somebody storms in.
Yeah.
like, okay. But I thought there's a moment where it's like a standoff between Heather Graham is able to take the gun away from the security guard, which is a revolver for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's a budget cut thing. Like, I don't know why somebody would have a revolver now. Anyway, has a revolver, takes it away from the security guard. And Deb, is that her name? Barbara Crampton's character is possessed by the thing now.
Yeah,
they're like, "No, we gotta fight." Blah blah blah. And then while that's happening, Deb is inside of the corpse of the kid, and it's like just through all weather, or whatever the fuck their stupid saying is, which I thought was a crap line that they keep repeating.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay. Like, basically saying, like, "Kill me." I'm like, wait, why though? Why? Like, can't you just, like, at one point, this thing has to jump back into that body and just, like, leave it, right? Just tape its mouth shut or some shit.
So, yeah, I think the thing is, I think Heather Graham died in Asa's body, and then Barbara Crampton's character is in Heather Graham's, and whatever ancient fucking thing is now Barbara Crampton's character. That makes body. Just body.
Oh, man, I didn't catch
Because, like, that. There is that one scene where, like, Heather Graham's like, "I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor."
That's right. That's Barbara Crampton, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to be Barbara Crampton. Yeah, they switched. Because I think she died in, she died in Asa's body. The body that was, like, all fucked up and torn apart. Which I thought was pretty cool. Like, I mean, it's a little hard to follow, but I think that's kind of the fun of it. So I thought that was
I just didn't understand why this thing was being so nice to John Sheck at the end. Maybe even this thing was like, "Damn, dude, you got it bad."
Well, they did bone. So we've established they like boys, at least men.
Yeah.
So.
But then didn't try to bone him in Barbara Crampton's body. Maybe that's just something I want to see. I'll be honest.
You just want to see Barbara Crampton.
I was like, how come she didn't have a sex scene? I was very upset by that. Like, you gave everybody else in this fucking movie. Even the Wardleys, I'm sure, were boning right outside that room before they're like, "Hey, take a look, keep an eye on her." They're like, "We sure will, inside of this room, not outside." Both in here now.
Alrighty. You have other thoughts?
No.
No? All right. That's good. Very curious about what you're about to rate it. Very curious. Excited. All right, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many?
Sexy spooky bones.
Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give you suitable flesh. Sex spooky bones.
Sex.
Sex spooky bones.
It's funny the way you said suitable flesh.
Spooky bones.
Yeah. I'll give it a 7. I liked nice. It more, I believe.
I couldn't use 7 as another sex word, so I had to say sex.
Yeah. We do this for the jokes. I think it's a 7. I think that it's fair. It was very surprisingly more entertaining as the movie went on. Still,
yeah.
I don't think that the only difference is that I don't think the way what they're trying to pay homage to is not. I don't think it was 100% done in the same vein. So that's my only little like nitpick going with it. Other than that, pretty enjoyable movie.
Yeah, alrighty. It wasn't bad.
Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay sexy, spooky.